Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Something else, we could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We continue on here at the Golden Nugget. We're in the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. John Lance Dunn. John Lance narrowly avoided taking us off the air. I had to intervene before he ripped out the wrong power cord, so we're safe. And it's me and Sean till noon as we move forward. And, of course, Rich Eisen, then Jeremy and Joe after us. So, I guess the one thing you can discuss as far as the Super Bowl is concerned is they're in town as far as getting ready, because both teams landed and now they're in town as they start to prepare for the Super Bowl. And that's kind of where we're going to end Super Bowl conversation, because at this point there's not a lot to discuss. Media Day will happen sometime this week and maybe something comes out of that. So That just points out that it was slim pickings. If you are a big football fan, I guess get yourself associated with the UFL rosters if you're desperate for football after Sunday. So we'll move on from that. The other thing that kind of caught my eye, and it maybe upset some people, because I did see some player comps and stats compared between two players, was Alperen Sengun does not make the All-Star team. If you don't know, we've talked about the convoluted nature of the All-Star game, but of course, well, maybe not of course, if you haven't been keeping up with it. They're still doing East versus West, but then they'll break down those East and Western rosters into an international team and then two U.S. teams. Alperen did not make the team. People were upset in some ways because they look at Chet Holmgren, who did make the team, and say Alperen's numbers are better. Now, Alperen's a better defender, but Chet is one of those guys who people throw in the DPOY conversation. Alperen is not currently of that status, but if you look at some of the odds, Chet makes, at least he's leading the Defensive Player of the Year award as far as the odds are concerned, so maybe that would put him over the top. So Alperen doesn't make it. Kevin Durant is your one Rockets representative in the All-Star game, which is a credit to him, and we'll see how the season plays out. But not only will he be an All-Star, he's playing well enough to have first-team consideration as far as all NBA, and then depending on how the rest of the year goes, maybe there's some MVP talk. He likely won't win it. That'll probably go to Shea again, but maybe Kevin Durant is one of those guys who people start to make a point and start to make a case for as the year gets later and later. And the Kevin Durant and the Rockets do get a win. Since the last time we spoke, they beat the Mavericks, a Mavericks team who is interesting because they have Cooper Flagg, and that's about it. It was a typical, what now has become a typical Rockets game against any team who's not completely awful. It goes longer as far as the game being in doubt than we feel like it should, but they find a way. They're now 30-17. I was actually looking at their schedule, because there's been a lot of complaints about the back-to-back nature and all the games in a short amount of time, but they play like 47 games this year, which would have them on the low end as far as teams. So teams and games played. So if you have an issue with the Rockets' schedule and the and how rapid these games are coming, that's not going to change because there are teams that have played like 50 games already this year, and the Rockets are still under 50 at 47. So the games are still going to be fast enough, furious, as we get closer and closer to the All-Star game coming up here in a little bit. But they get the win. Nice to beat the Mavericks. Nice to just win on a weekend. It's one of the featured games of the weekend. And, of course, the Inside the NBA crew had a little fun as Alperen had to teach Charles how to pronounce his name. So that happened. I believe that happened before the game and then after the game, or at least in the midst of it. Maybe it was at halftime. Those guys talked about the Rockets and their lack of a point guard and that being something why they can't trust them. We've had continuous conversations about the trajectory for this team, and sure, point guard is of a major focus, and with the trade deadline coming up, the question will be, do they do anything to solve what other people see as a problem? We'll see how strongly they attack that, because this is one of the years, I mean, all the talk about Giannis and where he moves to, a lot of it's centered around Giannis when he comes back from injury, doesn't want to waste a year of his prime sitting, if he does come back, sitting on a roster that can't win. So there's some want for Giannis to get traded now as opposed to waiting to the offseason where the Bucks might get a better offer. If you're the Rockets and you know Kevin Durant has how many years left? How many years does he have left of being one of the best players in the NBA? Are you going to not go after a point guard when it's clear as one of your major deficiencies? And just guard play in general. You look at who they have playing guard. Of course, the Reed Shepherd conversation will continue. They'll throw Aaron Holiday in there, Josh Okogie. Amen Thompson certainly will have ball handling responsibilities. It's not a great rotation. I mean, Amen you can call a wing, but if you start to look at their guard rotation, it's not one that's overly impressive. Certainly not one we start to stack them up against the best teams of basketball. We see what guys like De'Aaron Fox and even Stephon Castle and Dylan Harper can do against the Rockets, and then you got the OKC portion of the conversation when it comes to, of course, Shea, who likely will win a second MVP. Cason Wallace, they got a lot of guys who can play in a playoff series. How many guys do the Rockets have in the backcourt who you look at and go, I want that guy on the floor in the playoff series? You're hoping and praying that Reed Shepherd can hold up in a playoff series. Josh Okogie felt like just this auxiliary piece, and all of a sudden he's a guy, depending on the night when it comes to injuries, who's getting minutes. The Rockets are just full of wings. They don't really have any guards when I look at and go, that's a guy of your top nine I want playing in a contentious series against a real contender. So we'll see if there's something there on the trade market that they can use to supplement who they are. Because as it stands now, their wing forward, Alpi's going to get plenty of time being a ball handler as well. I don't think they're built for the postseason. When you look at who they're going to face and who those teams can throw at them. Hell, Jamal Murray makes the All-Star team. Of course, he talked about it and said, I was going to say, of course, he's one of the guards they have to go against. But he said, My goal is to be all NBA because that's a bigger honor. So these are the guys you have to go against, guys who have all NBA potentially for this season in the cards for them. The Rockets have we've talked here on the show. JAG is pejorative. People hear it and think it's an insult. But at this point, the Rockets have just a bunch of guys at the guard spot. They don't have a star, and they're certainly not built that way. But I would like, you don't need to be a star. But can I if I throw you on the floor for 30 minutes at that spot as a guard, are you going to lose your battle, or can you be someone who holds up? The Giannis stuff is a kind of a fantasy that I don't see happening here. Certainly the Rockets aren't mentioned as one of the teams interested. I think a far more likely thing that could happen is them trading for a guard to supplement what is probably the weakest point of their team. Look, Capella, fine as a backup big. They may be in the market for that as well. But a guard and a big is something, if you kind of want to take this team seriously, they need to improve before you really can. But that being said, they're still a top four team in the West, but we know that the goal is to be much more than that, and they have an opportunity here. They have assets. They have movable pieces. I would guess, although everyone on the Rockets roster, they would tell you is untouchable at this point. Sean, if we had to take a look at this roster, and if we removed like the show they put on by telling everyone this guy won't get moved, this guy won't get moved, who's most likely to acquire someone of any real consequence? Because we know they can just shift the deck chairs around if they want to move a Jayson Tate, and that wouldn't take much, and they wouldn't get much back unless they're attaching multiple picks to it. But if we're talking about guys who you look at and go, okay, if they move that guy, they could get someone, particularly a guard, that could help this rotation, who's the most likely?
So it's probably Dorian Finney-Smith, just in the case of, like, you need to stack money up to get to a basically anyone making, you know, about teens of millions of dollars. You're looking at Dorian Finney-Smith, who makes 12.7. You also have Steven Adams making 14. So those are your two kind of, like, you know, big or big-ish mid-range salary options. And then you're looking at after that, as far as like to actually get you something, it'd probably be either Tari Eason or Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, two guys that they have pretty much told the world aren't getting moved. Certainly not in a trade that acquires you a piece as opposed to a superstar. Yeah, Steven Adams has a deal that runs through not just this year but the next 2 years. So the question would be for any team who would be trading for him, do you want the 33-year-old next year at $13 million, then after that at $11 million? The deal when it was signed looked like a good one for the Rockets because it decreases as he gets older. But if you're a team giving up a piece that a contender thinks can help in the rotation, I don't think it would only be Steven Adams as far as an asset. You'd be throwing a pick on that as well, depending on the level of player.
Yeah, those are just the guys that kind of like have to be in a trade if you're taking in money.
Understood. Because if you're taking on anyone who would be a consequence, they're probably making a bit double digits as far as millions are concerned. So you would those are the contracts that match up. And as it stands now, throwing in a guy who's injured and out for the rest of the year probably means you're taking on a pick. Because we had a trade happen over the weekend. The Cavs traded DeAndre Hunter, a guy who was acquired last year to be a piece as they tried to win the East. Certainly didn't do that as they lose to the Pacers. He's traded for Dennis Schroeder and Ellis, two guards. And also the Bulls jumped in because they like to take on money and picks. So the Bulls, for their services, are in this trade to make it happen, took on 2 second-round picks. So it may be something like that, where you need another team to get involved if you didn't want to take on a bad deal. Maybe you're throwing picks the Bulls' way to take on the contract of whoever to make a deal work. Or maybe you're sending Steven Adams to the Bulls. It would be very convoluted if you threw in a third team, but that could be something if you don't do a two-team deal to acquire a guard. And hell, the Bulls do have a guard like Coby White, who has been rumored to be a Rocket. Trey Jones as well, another Bull who the Rockets could be into to add to their guard rotation. So they get the win over the Mavericks, and also we had a Jason Kidd crash out that we may get to a little bit later as we move forward in the show. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. I know a lot of people got in early for What Did You Learn on the John Land Show. We weren't unable to get to some calls who wanted to join the discussion after that. So but we will take calls here. If you didn't get in with them, you certainly can get in with us. We're here at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget. You all know the deal. You've heard John talk about it. Just 2.5 hours, depending where you are in Houston, to come on out here. I'm in League City, which is, of course, a little southeast of Houston. It took me like 2 hours and 10 minutes to get here. A straight shot. Easy to get here. And, of course, once you get here, you can take advantage of what the Sportsbook has to offer. And let's not forget about the restaurants. I went to my restaurant of choice, Lily's. Got the lo mein, the mixed lo mein with the vegetables and the shrimp and the pork. They do a good job. And, they have all the other restaurants here, like Claim Jumpers and Vic and Anthony's. If you want to have fine dining and also take advantage of the casino and the great rooms, it's all here for you at the Golden Nugget, which it has become, in some ways, the place we go. Actually, I think it's the place we show up to the most outside of doing shows in the actual studio. So we love coming to Gold Nugget. You will as well. All right, we'll be back with more. We'll go around kind of a world that is sports because there isn't a real focus. But we'll get to some things I found interesting, and of course you can join the show as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Without an actual main topic to steer the show, we're just going to get into some things. And Sean brought up something. Right before we came back, Caitlin Clark made her, I guess, debut for NBC as a special contributor because it's Saturday night. Last night. They're in the Garden. It was Lakers versus Knicks, and she was up there. I guess it was Maria Taylor. Maria Taylor was the host, who was a tall woman. You had Reggie Miller, you had Carmelo Anthony. She quote tweeted an image and said, next time I'm going to show up in stilts, because yes, everyone was towering over here. But that wasn't the big thing that came from it. They were talking about the game and comparing her game to others, and I think Carmelo mentioned Luka as a comp, and then Reggie Miller compared her to Peyton Pritchard, which she did not like. She didn't voice her displeasure, but she looked at him and gave him a look like, what? Well,
yeah,
Peyton Pritchard. Well, why? How? I don't know. Like, Peyton Pritchard's had a good year. The Celtics are surprisingly good considering what they did this offseason after Jason Tatum got hurt in the playoffs last year. They jettisoned Drew Holiday. They got rid of Kristaps Porzingis, and they're one of the top teams in the East, which may speak more to the East than anything else. But Jaylen Brown stepped up his game. He's an MVP candidate. And Peyton Pritchard has become a more important portion of that Celtics roster, but not important enough for Caitlin Clark to appreciate the comp. And I get it. There are some people in our lives who we don't want to be comp to, even if we have like no real connection to them. And even if they're not bad as people or are awful at their jobs, you just don't want to be comp to some people. You have a reasonable belief in who you are and what tier you're in. You're like, Peyton Pritchard, F out of here. I wonder if it's like the game or just Peyton Pritchard himself that she doesn't want to be comp to.
Yeah, I think it's
all of it.
Yeah, I'm Caitlin F. Clark.
I don't Peyton Pritchard.
The zoomed in part, like there's people obviously like zoomed in on just her while the conversation is happening, and she is like goes from like smiling, I'm on TV.
Yeah.
And the second he says, you know, kind of reminds me of Peyton Pritchard, just like immediate smile drops and just kind of looks at Reggie.
It was so natural. It wasn't put on. She just heard that name, that comp, and she lost. She forgot where she was. She forgot she was on TV. She was like, come on, Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard.
With more practice, she probably would have avoided that face. The smile would have stayed plastered on. But she was having a good time talking to these NBA legends in a spot she hasn't been able to be in as up until that point, and then she heard the Peyton Pritchard comp, and it got to her.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, we have a quarterback here in this town who has comped himself to the likes of, well, when he was going good, comped himself to Stafford and the greats in the game. Like, after CJ's rookie year, where he had played as well as he had, and he was up, at the Pro Bowl or something, and I'm trying to find the right Reggie Miller comp to the NFL. I don't know who it would be, because I could either be insulting that person or insulting Reggie. I don't know who it would be. Let's go Steve Smith Jr. Whatever. Really good player. Has a media presence. Steve Smith Jr. comped C.J. Stroud to who could it possibly be? If he comped him to, like, at that point, Sam Darnold? Or Sam Darnold's probably, at that point, probably wasn't good.
Yeah,
good
like
as
Andy
Pritchard
Dalton.
Is. Yeah, Andy Dalton. If he comped him to Andy Dalton, CJ wouldn't have appreciated that.
Yeah.
Whether he would have kept a smile on his face, that's a different story. But Caitlin Clark wore her emotions on her face, but I get it.
Are we doing, is there something subconscious that we're happening where like Peyton Pritchard, it's Andy Dalton as the examples. Like, I don't want to be those guys. Like, I don't know. Give me some no, cool. Give me, like, yeah, if it's a role play, like, you know, like, oh, Lou Williams. Okay. I can, it's still just like a six-man scoring guard, like about equal footing, but it's like, at least it's Lou Williams. He's kind of cool. You know, he loves the lemon pepper wings. Like, don't give me Peyton Pritchard.
I think Peyton Pritchard, if the Celtics weren't beat up and didn't like trade off guys, he wouldn't be starting. She's a starter. Yeah. She doesn't want to be compared to what would be or should be a career long sixth man. She don't want to be compared to that. She's obviously a star in that league. So yeah, if you're going to give her Lou Williams, probably isn't a comp she's looking for. But I think all that Peyton Pritchard entails got to her.
I would love to just have Reggie Miller just rattle off comps for Caitlin Clark, and
it's all white.
No,
dudes.
just see like what you know, just how his mind works. Like, just
Who do you think she compares to?
I feel like for the last 2 years, everyone's been like, she's like Steph Curry, but for women's basketball.
And Reggie Miller, I don't see it, but I do see Peyton Pritchard.
Jordan Poole, huh? A little bit?
I don't know. I think the Peyton Pritchard thing got to her, but maybe overall, if she was going to take a comp, once you hear Carmelo Anthony compare you to Luka, and then Reggie Miller takes you down like four tiers to Peyton Pritchard, it's going to be a little upsetting.
How many All-Stars does this next person have? Oh, zero. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah. He's having a pretty good year for the Celtics. Thank you for that, Reggie. Let's get to Apollo here. He missed out on what did he learn this weekend? And you know what? It's not a bit on this show, but who cares? If you learn something, we'd like to hear it. What's up, Apollo?
Morning, Dale. Sports double rides. A little bit of a care, but hey, it's a boring sports week, so what the hey, you know? What I learned this weekend, as we all expected, it is literally all of them. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm out.
I'm going to try to decipher what he means. Did he say it's literally all of them? Is that what you heard, Sean?
Yes.
I imagine he could be discussing the fact that no head coaching hires or jobs went to black coaches this year. That could be it, because that happened this year. Now Robert Saleh got a job, and of course on the morning show, because we're uninformed on most things, there's a question about where he is from and his descent. He is of Lebanese descent, so that does not qualify as a black man. It does qualify as a minority hire, but of the 10 openings, and I'm just guessing, Apollo, maybe if you want to call the intern and confirm, I am assuming you're talking about that. Of the 10 openings, none of them went to a black coach. And I saw this come out. I'm not sure if it came out before Raheem Morris was named as the DC in San Francisco. Only if I'm not sure, because it could be two or one, depending on the timing of the tweet. But Raheem Morris is the DC in San Francisco. That would make maybe just one open coordinator job going to a black coach. So that stirred up some of the conversation. And I was looking at that, and also the fact that, of course, the McVay-Shanahan tree continues to grow. It's like a British royal family at this point. You have someone of that lineage in a lot of places in the NFL. So as it stands now, you got the two LaFleurs, two brothers have jobs in the NFL. So it's the Harbaughs, two pairs of brothers, the Harbaughs and the LaFleurs. You've got a Kubiak who has a connection, a Liam Cohen, Zach Taylor, if we remember, is connected to them. Of course, Kevin O'Connell. Now, this is where you might push back, because these two guys are defensive guys, so they're not maybe strictly considered under that tree, because those guys are known for their offense, McVay and Shanahan. But you've got D'Amico and Robert Saleh. So Shanahan's defensive guys get jobs. And, of course, Chris Shula, the DC for the Rams, was interviewed in a couple spots as well. So if we just go by that tree, if you include the two guys at the top and then you throw in the two LaFleurs, it's pretty wide. What are we, like 9 head coaches in some way, shape, or form from that tree?
Yeah, something like that.
I do the counting in my head right now. Actually, it's 10 with the 2 LaFleurs, the Kubiak, the Liam Cohen. That's 4. Then Zach Taylor, O'Connell, D'Amico, Robert Saleh. And then you throw in McVay and Shanahan. That's at least 10.
Yeah.
10 of the 32 going to somebody who's at least associated. There might be more, but as far as what I remember, like passing game coordinators or offensive coordinators or DCs, it's been all those guys. And it all stems from Mike. And then, of course, Gary now has his son in the league. So I don't know at a time if there have ever been 2 pair of brothers with head coaching jobs in the NFL.
Are there more LaFleur brothers than there are black NFL coaches? Or no, same amount.
Head coaches?
Same amount,
Well, you got D'Amico.
D'Amico and Aaron Glenn.
And then you also have Todd Bowles, so there's 3.
Todd Bowles, okay.
So the question
LaFleurs
is...
LaFleurs are catching up.
The problem is, it's close.
It's
very close that you have... The fact that the LaFleurs are 2, and then you throw in the two Harbaugh brothers, you have 2 pairs of brothers that are exceeding the black head coaches in the NFL. It was looked at, and people noticed that you had nearly a third of the league had an opening, and somehow, some way, no one was hired. Anthony Weaver was, I guess, the last shot. When you look at Arizona, they had LaFleur, and there was another guy involved. And then once he didn't get that job, and it went to LaFleur, then of course Kubiak gets the job, the former, well, still current, he'll coach in the Super Bowl, the current OC for the Seahawks, but the future head coach of the Raiders, who will likely be coaching Fernando Mendoza, as the Raiders have the number 1 pick in the NFL draft. Pena, I see you. You're on hold. Hold on. We'll get to you. We'll take anyone else's calls as well, 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We are at the Gold Nugget. The hot water was flowing. I had no problems. You could leave the hot water on for however long you want it. Once you got in the shower, it was still hot. That may not be the case at your home. Hell, you probably don't have a water heater as big as the heat water heaters here at the Gold Nugget. If you have any problems with your water heater, go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Check out what they have to offer. They will take a look at your water heater and find the problem and fix it, or hell, just replace one. They do that with they also have the ability to look at your tankless water heater if that's what you have. Don't worry. If you got a plumbing problem, they're the people you go to. Check out the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And if you don't have a water heater issue with something else, check out the drop-down service menu, and you'll probably fall into a category that they can fix, whether you need a remodel or you want a repipe done because you've got an older home and you're worried about the older pipes. They'll take care of you there as well. They've done over 1,000 of those repipes, so you know they do a great job, and the contractors there will get you right. So, of course, with plumbing problems, we don't always know what the issue is. You just know there's a problem. You don't know how to fix it, and you kind of don't want to be charged to figure out what it is. So they give you that free quote. They'll take a look and give you a free quote for what the cost will be. And, of course, you can call them as well at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. And get with the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Trust us. Billy Brown and his people have been doing the job the right way for a long time. If you got a problem, they'll take care of you. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Payne is on hold. We'll get to him here shortly. And because of the direction of his calls normally, we're here at the Golden Nugget, but I don't have access to how I normally watch TV on Sunday nights. I have to go with the laptop. Hell, technology is great. You can watch anything you want, but normally I'm watching something on the big TV. I got to tell you, without giving anything away, the latest episode, A Night of the Seven Kingdoms, banger. Just going to tell you everybody. If you're not watching that show, they got the first 3 episodes out. They do it weekly. Watch, and they're like 30 minutes apiece. Watch the first 3, and if you're not in, I don't know what's going to get you in after the reveal in episode 3. Like, if you are a book reader or some would say a book nerd, you would have known beforehand, and there are context clues as episode 1 and 2 and even early part of episode 3 go, but the reveal in episode 3, I mean, that's the way you get people back for next week. So that's all I'm going to say about that. It at this point is the best, I would say, Game of Thrones property since maybe season 6 of Game of Thrones. And I was a staunch defender in the middle of it, of Game of Thrones, even as 7 and 8 were going on. But, you know, perspective and time changes your opinion. And I like House of the Dragon. But if we're talking about quality and tone, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, getting it done. So if you haven't watched that, I would say watch that Sunday nights on HBO if you're not watching it through an app. And I believe they're going to switch it up this week because of the Super Bowl. I think they're going to change times. Last night it was a 9 Central, so we'll see what happens. I know I saw the headline. I didn't dive deep to figure out what time it is. But either way, whether you watch it on Sunday nights or watch it on a different day, it's good stuff. Let's get to Pena here. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? Hey, so I'm not calling about Game of Thrones. I'm going to tell you what I learned this weekend. And I learned this weekend that Pete Guy is temporary, but you'll never forget the Rim Reaper. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's partly because I'm here, but I don't actually get the reference. Sean, do you know what he's talking about?
I don't really know either.
P-Guy, I heard that, but she'll never forget the Grim Reaper. Is that what he said?
I think he said Rim Reaper.
Rim Reaper.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are ways I could kind of work through what he said, but I don't think I could do that on air. At least where my mind went, just may speak to how my mind operates. So appreciate the call, Pena. Don't know what you said. Maybe you call back and explain it to us, and we can get to it. But thanks for that. So while I was watching A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, once that was over, I didn't watch the Grammys firsthand, or at least on television. It's not my thing. I caught in clip form online. And I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm not saying anything revelatory. But you know what? Now, this song is for the girls. Like, Man Child by Sabrina Carpenter is for the girls. But you know what? I got to say it. As a person who doesn't listen to her music, it's not on my phone, didn't put it on the playlist on the drive up here, I'm going to go Superstar. I think it's partly because she's an actor as well. At least that's how a lot of people knew her from before she started her music career. I would say just watch that performance, and you're like, okay, I get it. It's not that I didn't get it before, but watching it even on the small screen, even on my phone, it's like, okay, I got it. I get what she's on, and I get why people love her. I mean, probably not going to get me to go download the album, but in like 5 minutes when I was watching from a hotel room, I was like, all right, understood. Understood what that's about and why she's a superstar. So that was my night. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and then I caught some of what happened in the Grammys. And Trevor Noah saying that he was doing like work on the crowd, and he wound up standing next to Kendrick Lamar, and he said he was going to make jokes about Kendrick Lamar, but then he realized then he remembered that Kendrick Lamar has had a pretty good run making fun of light-skinned dudes from different countries. So the crowd got it, obviously talking about Drake there. So those are the two things I took from the Grammys. I don't know who won a thing other than, not Lance, but John telling me that Cher thought Luther Vandross, who's been dead for, I think, almost 20 years now, won an award, but it was really Kendrick Lamar winning Record of the Year for Luther, and she said Luther Vandross. So, look, you run a 79-year-old woman up there. I think her frame of reference when she hears Luther is probably only Luther Vandross. Certainly, I would doubt that she heard the Kendrick SZA song. But those are the things I know from the Grammys. Other than that, it wasn't a Grammys night for me. And when we come back, now that our TV and entertainment segment is over, we'll hear from Rick Barnes. Only because I got to ask Sean a question. Sean, just think about it now. I'll ask the question, and then you can tell me what you think. Has Rick Barnes ever said anything that wound up in the group chat in any way, shape, or form? Considering I never had him coach my team, but he seems like a guy who never says anything, but he said something over the weekend that he immediately regretted, and I think it's the only time Rick Barnes has ever said anything that went viral. We'll hear from Rick Barnes when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Go to Monument Chevrolet if you're looking for a great car. It's pretty simple. If you go there, you're going to get yourself a great vehicle, and you're going to get it at a great price. And if you have any questions, they got their point person there. That's Jeff. He's the GM. Any questions you need, ask for Jeff. He'll help you out. He wants to be the person that gets you into a great vehicle at a great price. Of course, the salespeople are going to do their job, and a lot of those salespeople have been there for years now, and it's just not them. It's across the entire dealership. And you know why? It's because they not only treat you like family, they treat them like family. It's a family business, and they welcome you as soon as you step on the lot. So they're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And once you find the car you want at monumentchevrolet.com, go out there, and you're going to get a deal that matches what you saw on the website. There are no tricks. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. As soon as you identify the car you want and the price that fits what you're looking for, that price is going to be waiting for you on the lot. No changes. They're not about getting you on the lot and then and switching it up on you. You don't stay in business as long as they have by doing that. If you've been serving the local community for that long, you're going to be treating them right. So remember the website. It's monumentchevrolet.com. Find the car you want, whether it be a Silverado or a Blazer or a Colorado. Maybe you're looking at something a little bit smaller like a Trax. They have them all for you that fit all your car buying wants. It is Monument Chevrolet. That's monumentchevrolet.com. In Pasadena, the dealership is there off of Bellway 8 and 225. And as always, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
So as we went to break, I asked Sean to contemplate a question, but I'm going to ask another question first, because today, of all days, with not a lot to focus on, we can just get to a lot of things. So, without knowing the end result, but taking in all the possible scenarios, like your Doctor Strange, Sean, which is the bigger mistake? If I told you Rick Barnes is going to allude to, or not even allude to, just flat out say, I wonder if my players are betting on games, and hold that in your mind, but put it up against a boxer walking into a ring with a wig on. Which one, when you consider all the possible scenarios, is the bigger mistake?
I think the wig. I think the wig's a bigger mistake.
I would agree, because as much as the NCAA and college basketball has a problem, and hell, all the sports has a problem with sports gambling, the players doing it, and what that might mean, wearing a wig in a boxing match where you repeatedly get hit in the head,
I think
considering the scenarios that could happen, that's a bigger mistake. If you don't know, Jarrell Miller, who actually won his fight, but no one remembers that or will remember
that's
that.
That's how we know it's worse, is that we know. Yes.
He actually won a fight where someone was trying to knock him out, but he did not come out a winner. he explained it. Well, where he beat Kingsley Ibe, he explained why he had the wig on. If you missed it, he walked in there with a wig on, and after a couple rounds, he gets punched in the face enough, and the wig starts to flap up and down. Eventually, gets knocked off, and it wound up in the crowd, and eventually had a ringside seat. That's where someone put it. He explained it as he was at his mom's house. She was at his house, and she hid, for some reason, at least this is what he's saying. I guess she put ammonia in a shampoo bottle, and for whatever reason, and he used it on his hair, and he wound up with patches in his hair because of using it, and then decided to, you know, just shave his head because he didn't want to have a patchy head. We understand that. And then he went through the process of getting his hair cut, but because he wanted to look good on camera, he threw on a wig, and you had hilarious results. So
that is such a dog ate my homework. Like,
yeah, do I believe that that's how that happened?
It seems way simpler. There's a one way that seems way simpler.
If I almost believe either he was, I don't know what Jerome Miller looked like before that, before this weekend. I almost believe he, like, there's another thing I would guess, he got a bad haircut.
Either he got a bad, but the thing is, like,
or he cut it himself for whatever reason and it went bad, and then he decided, you know what, I gotta make up for, or he's had this wig for a long time and this is the first time it bit him.
Yeah, I mean, if it is a just issue with your hair, and you could regrow hair at any time. You're not worried about your hair, you know, not growing back. Then why don't you just cut your hair short for this fight, and then it'll grow out by the time of your next fight?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, why put the wig on, like, for just go for
bald
this?
Just have a bald haircut.
It's fine. I guess he didn't want to be seen as a bald man for a night, but
if you,
this is a
if
much
your hair
worse
can
result.
Then grow back.
Yeah, what's not, who cares? Yeah, this is the point.
Like Timothée Chalamet shaved his head
because he knows it's going to grow
a wig
back
after that.
Yet John Travolta wears wigs until he stopped because the hair wasn't ever going to come back. You make a great point. Why is he wearing a wig for one bout? I don't know when it started. Maybe he wore it during to the lead up to the fight. But who cares? If you had to shave your head for a week or two, you had to walk
accident.
Around with a bald head because of whatever accident, if we want to believe that's what happened, it's going to come back,
yeah.
Right?
No,
you'll
I
be
mean,
fine.
The explanation, like, is the, like, wait, what? Like no, it's all right. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's like, yeah, my hairline's not where I want it to be, so I did the thing that goes viral every, like, 6 months on social media where they tape basically a yarmulke to the top of your head, and look, it looks like hair.
Why not? Yeah, we got to question the barber. I guess, do we question the barber's glue as well?
Yeah, you got to break out the industrial strength stuff.
Yeah, well, particularly if he's got a fight coming up.
Punch in the face. Like, that is, like, the one thing where your head just constantly whipping back.
Yeah, I don't know if this particular wig would have survived this just a regular couple days, if he just had a 2 week span where he wasn't in training, he just was living a normal life. But when it comes to, you got a boxing match, it's going to be televised, if you're going to wear that wig, you got to break out the strong glue. Instead, he looked ridiculous, but he did win the fight, which no one will ever care about because he'll always be the guy who got his wig knocked off in a fight. Jerome Miller, that's his name. But we're just going to know him as the wig guy. So I would agree. The poor decision for whatever reason, he wore the wig and it became a thing. But this is the sound from Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes, the head coach of, is he at Tennessee?
Yes.
Is he the head coach at Tennessee, former Longhorn? I asked you the question, Sean. We're going to play this sound, and then you can answer the question whether this is the only time Rick Barnes has said anything that would reach a group chat or go viral or wind its way up on a non-Austin or volunteer-based radio show. He's coaching other places, but if you weren't focused on Texas basketball or Tennessee basketball, why would you ever hear from Rick Barnes until, well, now?
I mean, at the end of the game, some of the passes that we throw, I mean, just, I don't know what to say other than sometimes I wonder if my guys are betting on games. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, that's what Ray said. I don't want to say that.
But, he doesn't know how this works, does he?
I just wonder what's happening. I mean, because I know we're too good of players to do that. Was that a bad I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. But the fact is, we've got to get some.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said it. I mean, it's not going to do anything. I'm sure he might have a conversation with someone. Hey, Rick, could you not allude or suggest that our guys are betting on basketball? It's not great. It's not great for the image. It's not great for college basketball as a whole. Did he ever say anything while he was the coach of Texas that made it to a conversation with you and your friends?
I mean, not like, it's more just because he was the coach at the time. It wasn't off the strength of his actual, like, what he is actually saying. Like, D'Amico Ryans also doesn't say anything, but like...
Yeah, but we talk about it because we got this job.
It's like more of that, where it's like, yeah, like, listen to this guy. Can you believe this? It's never like, wow, he said something funny or interesting, or like, oh, yeah, there we go. It's just, I mean, you hear it at the end where it's like the folksy, like, oh, I really shouldn't have said that, shouldn't I? Erase that, you know, that part's off the record. That's more of his styling at the podium, or a lot of times they're just like sitting down at folding chairs, basically.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's more his style, is just like the, like, well, you know, we're just trying really hard. We got to throw smarter passes. It's like that kind of stuff. He never, you know, pondered out loud if his players are committing federal crimes.
Well, that is correct. That is the right way to put it.
He was wondering
if his players were involved in federal crimes. Hey, I don't know, man. Maybe these guys are involved in racketeering. I don't know, but that's how bad they looked out there, because we're better than that. Yeah, he regretted it as soon as he said it, and he goes by something. He's not my friend, but some people call him a friend. He goes by what Raheel says. Never go viral. That's kind of how Rick Barnes has approached these things, even if he wasn't doing it like consciously. He just says things that a typical basketball coach would say that doesn't go anywhere beyond that presser, and maybe someone has to play a clip from Rick Barnes because they cover Tennessee basketball. Now, a show who never covers Tennessee basketball is talking about him in comparison to a boxer who walked into a ring with a wig on and had it knocked off. That's what Rick Barnes was up to over the weekend. And once again, much like that boxer, didn't know that he won until I actually did the research. I don't know that Tennessee won their game either. Didn't care, because it's the SEC basketball before the SEC conference tournament. So we'll go to break with that. Eric, I see you. You want to talk some television, or Sean puts it, cinema. I wonder if Eric's actually going to bring anything that like a TV critic or movie critic would call cinema. So we'll hear from him. Anyone else want to follow? 713-780-3776. We're finishing up the first hour here at the Golden Nugget. We're in the DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, don't know that there are many spots left for the Super Bowl, but if you wanted to do something special and watch the big game here at the DraftKings Sportsbook, you can. You can call them and see if there's a spot open, because we've been here quite a bit, and they do a great job reserving tables for us. If you want to take advantage of that, call them. It doesn't have to be just for the big game, of course. We've got the tournament coming up here in a little bit, a couple months away. But if you want to get in before the rush as far as reserving a spot, they'll do that for you as well. I'm looking at all the TVs. No sports on, because it's just the talk shows. But when you get here for the games you love, they'll all be here for you here at the DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, we're done with hour one. We'll start hour two when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.